Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord of Epiphany, Jesus Christ. Amen. The setting for today's gospel lesson from St. Luke is much like that of what took place in the reading from Nehemiah. The people of Israel gathered around in focused dedication to hear the word of the Lord, much like you are doing here this morning. And this is exactly what the children of Israel in Nazareth were supposed to do. And what they heard on that day in Nazareth, in their synagogue, was exactly what they had been hoping for. For finally, in their presence, in their small town in the hilly region surrounding Galilee, the promised Messiah had arrived. And it just so happened that the promised Messiah turned out to be Jesus, the son of Joseph, whom they knew very well. The carpenter's son turned carpenter, now turned rabbi. Now, none of them probably had any inkling while Jesus was growing up in their village that he would be the anointed one. And yet, there he was. In their synagogue, reading from Scripture on that blessed Sabbath day. And the Scripture that Jesus had just read was a messianic prophecy from the great prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, after reading this text from Isaiah, Jesus did what was the custom. He sat down, which was the sign that he was about to teach. And so all the people gathered in the synagogue focused their eyes on Jesus. And what he said next was unbelievable. And yet it was what they had longed to hear. It was what their fathers and their mothers, their grandmothers and grandfathers, and all of their ancestors before them had so desperately waited for. This is what he said. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, what that means, quite clearly, is that Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, this normal everyday guy to the common eye, was saying that he himself was the Christ, that he is the Savior promised long ago, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Now, could this really be true? The Jews gathered there that day really wanted it to be so. They wanted this so badly, to finally have the Messiah in their midst. For how wonderful it would be to have him there in their synagogue, in their town, in their village. Could this Jesus really be telling us the truth? Well, the reports that they had heard about him seemed to back up his claim. For they had heard about what was going on in Capernaum and the other cities surrounding the Sea of Galilee. For both Matthew and Mark, as we know it today in the Gospels, had recorded that Jesus had already in his ministry been performing miracles and teaching great things about the kingdom of heaven. And so what good news for the people of Nazareth. The miracle worker, Jesus himself, had come to their town. He announced clearly that he was the Messiah. And best of all, in their minds, in their eyes, this Jesus was one of them. For they asked then, "Is this not Joseph's son?" In other words, they thought, "He knows us, and we know him. He grew up in this, our humble town. So surely we have a special connection to him. For he has done all those wonderful things in Galilee. Just wait and see all the wonderful things he's going to do for us here in Nazareth." Now, Jesus' bold claim on that day, excuse me, was the answer to their long-prayed prayers. He was indeed the Anointed One, as seen at his baptism not too long before. Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. He was God in the flesh, a mystery still not fully unraveled. He was anointed by the Spirit to bring good news to the poor, to preach liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to relieve the oppressed, to announce the time of God's favor. God had come to their synagogue in human form. And along with this great epiphany, this great revelation, comes another revelation from the Messiah that is just as important. While Jesus had come for the people of Israel, he had also come for everyone else in the world as well. In last week's gospel from St. John, Jesus' mother approached him when the wine had run out at the wedding, as though she had a special connection, special favor with Jesus as his mother. But referring to her as woman, instead of as mother, Jesus announced that the Christ does not play favorites. His role as Savior was most important. And now this message, the same message, came across loud and clear to the people gathered in the synagogue there in Nazareth. And by citing Elijah and Elisha as prophets who healed Gentiles, along with other Israelites, Jesus announces to his hometown, his people that he grew up with, that he will not play favorites, and that they have no special hold on him. For Jesus had come for all people, the message that needs to be proclaimed to all the world. For indeed, all people are in need of the Savior. And while Mary, in last week's gospel, humbly submitted to Jesus' will and respected his divine authority, which is the proper response, the people of Jesus' hometown, the others in his life that should have known him the best, did exactly the opposite. They were furious with Jesus. They were insulted by his claim that they were not special, either as his hometown people or as God's chosen nation. And to infer that God's extended favor would go out to all people and not just to the Jews was salt in their wounds. And so their wrath consumed them, to the point of pushing Jesus out of the synagogue, to the brink of their town, so that they could end his life by throwing him off of a cliff. But Jesus' hour had not yet come. And miraculously, he passed through their midst and continued his ministry. The long-awaited epiphany of Jesus as Messiah, although not well received, was also indeed long needed. His words to those in the synagogue on that day made it clear who he was. And this wasn't just good news for the Jews of Jesus' day, but for all people of every day. And that means, blessedly, good news for you and for me today, some 2,000 years after. But what that also means is that Jesus' message of salvation and the work of forgiveness that he performs in his sacrificial death is also for the likes of Osama bin Laden, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Charles Manson. His work of salvation was also for Adolf Hitler, Judas Iscariot, and Dr. George Tiller. All people are in need of the forgiveness of Christ, and every sin ever committed and that will be committed has been paid for by the blood of Christ. His sacrificial death upon the cross has won the forgiveness of all sins, from the sins of white lies and greed to the sins of rape and murder. Now that may seem like an injustice to us, that it is unfair to lump all sinners into one category. And you think, as do I, that surely I'm not as bad as Dr. Kevorkian or Adolf Hitler. Surely I'm not as sinful as my God-hating coworker or a practicing homosexual. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are not to compare ourselves to others when it comes to our sins. For none of us deserve God's love or His mercy. None of us deserve to have God's favor. But we all need it. We all need the favor of God, Jew and Gentile, willing sinner and weak-willed sinner. All are the poor to which Jesus announces the good news. All are the captives that He longs to set free. All are His desire. And so goes the epiphany of today's gospel lesson. And perhaps some of the Jews there in Nazareth that day came to see the error of their ways, the flaw of their expectations, and so repented of their sin and turned to follow Jesus. Perhaps they recognized by faith that everyone needs God's grace and that God indeed favors no one apart from Christ. And that is what each of us today are called to do each and every day. For God calls each of you to repentance from your sins so that He can assure you beyond a shadow of a doubt that your sins are forgiven and that He loves you. And He gives you that assurance through the word of His gospel, through the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, through the life and salvation He gives you in His body and blood of the supper. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the rabbi preaching in that temple, that synagogue on that day, is your good news. He is your liberty, your healing, your forgiveness. He is the epiphany, the revelation that God is for you, here, today, and forever. Amen. And now the peace that passes all human understanding that comes from the Lord of the Epiphany, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until He comes again. Amen.